Are you insane?
They are insane!
In the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Matt Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kim, 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 Kim.
Hi, Christopher, I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
Here's Spock.
Oops!
So, this is what you're getting. This is what it's come down to, isn't it? I'm Mike McCafferty. I'm an actor, I'm a writer, and I'm a huge Star Trek enthusiast, but I haven't podcast for a while, and some of you were worried about that, and I appreciate your concern, and I haven't soured to Star Trek, but I found myself, first of all, being very busy, and I apologize for that, although, you know, it's free content. I mean, none of you are waiting, I hope, for the next installment of I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. This was supposed to be something so much more, but it is apropos that I sit here in my car driving down Van Owen Boulevard in the San Fernando Valley in the middle of a pandemic, celebrating really a milestone. I don't know if any of you remember, but around episode 100, I was sort of having a crisis of conscience, like, should I continue on? Should I continue making episodes of Star Trek? I just want to talk about Star Trek. And by the way, if you want to continue this conversation, if you want to talk with other people or see funny things I post, you can either check me out at Mike McCafferty on Twitter or I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek Facebook page. And I give you like little stuff here and there. But this is literally where no man has gone before for me as far as episodes. We're at episode 177 by some counts. Now, if you go on to the Apple podcast page, it says episode 177. It should, at least. And that is significant in that Star Trek Next Generation went 176 episodes. So I remember in episode 100, and if you guys haven't checked that one out, that one's a real weird one, because we went to the water processing place in Van Nuys, where they shoot all those things, and that was Abed, and the guy from Return of the Archons, and my son, and Chief Engineer Jason McCarris. It was definitely a menagerie of people to celebrate the 100th episode. And at that point in time, I was like, should I go on? Should I not go on? I've had conversations with the doctor, Kim Miller. So here I sit. And even with this, I thought, well, maybe I'll just be done. I'll just do this one and be done. I don't feel like I want to be done. I had thoughts about doing the episode where No Man Has Gone Before, the second pilot. That would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Yes. I thought, eh. Truth be told, I am, you don't care what I'm doing, do you? You don't care outside of Star Trek what I'm doing, and nor should you. But I have a pilot for FX, a science fiction pilot called Sweatland, which hopefully will be announced soon. And that's for you to know. You're first in the docket to know these things. That's the title. Hopefully it'll be announced soon. And then we're going to go series, hopefully. We'll see. I'm teaching online. Writing, of all things. And I'm also writing for this sort of Little House in the Prairie cowboy show, which I am interpreting in my own mind as a wagon train to the stars. We all know that. That's the famous pitch of how to pitch Star Trek. Well, he didn't actually pitch it like that, but someone suggested to him. And like, oh, it's like a wagon train to the stars. And Gene Roddenberry says, yes, I will appropriate that. Gene Roddenberry appropriated a lot of things. If I've told you this before, you probably know this. Alexander Courage wrote the original theme song for Star Trek, and then Gene Roddenberry placed ridiculous, nonsensical lyrics on top of it so he could half the royalties. That's not cool. That's not a cool thing. And this perhaps isn't cool either. You expect higher quality, right? Do you? I don't know. Rather than a ramble, Star Trek ramble. First, let's get this out of the way. So I did watch the finale of Star Trek Discovery. I did watch it. And as you know, last episode was all about shit, for lack of a better term. It's what they call it. It's what CBS All Access, now Paramount Plus, had in their script, had in the show. Remember Star Trek IV when they talked about not using so many profanities in the 23rd and 24th century. Now they do. Now it's okay. It's all on the table, boys. It's back on the menu, boys. It's from Lord of the Rings. But I watched it, and it was disappointing. And maybe, in fact, friend of the pod, Matt Stompy Thompson, who has been an advocate for Discovery when I have not been, even when I polled him, he says, yeah, the last few episodes weren't so good. And they weren't. And so I don't know how much effort I need to put into it, into describing it. But I will say this. When The Burn, which has been teased for 10 episodes or 12 episodes, is revealed to in fact be because a Kelpian child screamed at dilithium crystals and caused all the dilithium crystals in the galaxy to explode, I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if I'm that happy with that turn of events. Not that that's necessarily the worst thing, but as someone pointed out on Reddit, it would be a good episode reveal. Why has all the power gone out on this planet? Oh, because a kid screamed. Oh, okay, great, got it. But for the entire galaxy to be disabled because a Kelpian child had a horrible, the ship crashed, and he sees his parents there, and he screams, and blows up not only all the dilithium on that planet, but resonates throughout the galaxy. What am I supposed to make of that? The arbitrariness of the universe, I suppose. And then, to a lesser extent, the incompetency of the Federation, of any species in the galaxy that cannot figure this out for 120 years, however long it was, until Discovery shows up and has the proper information to crack that code. It's a kid screaming. Now, granted, they probably didn't have Kelpians around. Still doesn't matter, right? It's still the reveal. I suppose in some ways I can see that they were thinking, wow, you know, we do so many galactic, gigantic things that for it to be the screams of a child. I'm sorry, I have to drive around this giant tree branch with the shuttle. Hey, it's windy out. I'm in my shuttlecraft right now. I'm in my shuttlecraft, my car, I'm driving. But to have that be the reason for all the suffering in the galaxy since then, it just seems a little anticlimactic. And I get it. Before, we've had the Red Angel and mirror universes, and why don't we make it the most simple thing? A child scream. A child's love, maybe. A child scream? Sure. No. No, I found it unsatisfying, and there was no lead-up to it. Now, certainly, last season, here I am talking about Discovery. Here I am talking about Discovery. Last season, when they set out this magical Red Angel thing and then couldn't stick the landing because they didn't know what they were doing. Now, I'll give you a spoiler. When you start a season in a series, and I've done this a couple of times, you don't necessarily know where you're going to end up. Things change, circumstances change, and characters can pop, good ideas can come out mid-season, you can write something cool, or someone cannot suddenly be available. When we did Hot Streets, we had Jonathan Frakes as the voice of Jet Jr., the talking little tiny jet. But Adult Swim didn't like his voice. They said, nope, we don't like his voice. This is a spoiler. This is a big-time spoiler. We loved his voice. Me and my showrunner, Brian Weissel, loved his voice. And to this day, still love his voice. But Adult Swim said, nah, we don't like him. And so by episode 5, we had to change tack, and we had to recast. We got Ernie Hudson, who did a fabulous job. But it was not the voice we were planning for. And so things change. And I know, in Star Trek Discovery Season 2, at some point in time they said, okay, there's 7 signals out there. Let's make this a great quest. We have to find the 7 signals all across the galaxy. It's a Red Angel that's showing up. What is it? We don't know. Or maybe they had an inkling. By the time you fill in all the info, dot all the I's, cross all the T's, it can be vastly different. So you get this strange amalgamation of, oh, it's Burnham's mother and Burnham herself, which is causing these flares to trigger her adoptive family's brother to signal to her to go search for herself because Section 31 has released evil nanites which threaten the galaxy. And you must go 927 years in the future. That's a real plot for you guys, right there, girls and guys. Fam. You got me talking about Discovery. And screaming at crystals. I should be screaming at the crystals in this phone, in my shuttlecraft. But I won't. Instead, I drive around Southern California. Here, on what should be a momentous podcast, it is instead a footnote. I don't know. I mean, is there value to anything which is put on the internet? Is there value to any sort of content? I think so. At least it is a red angel beacon. It is one of the seven beacons I give to you. To say, you know, I'm not done with this. I don't want to be done with this. But I don't have the time or the bandwidth right now to continue on. Oh, there is something which might be happening. And I'm just talking to you guys now. This is sort of a clearinghouse, kind of fun times here. So I wanted to start playing Dungeons & Dragons, because why not? I played it 40 years ago. I'm sorry, you guys, I did. I think I had the second edition of Dungeons & Dragons, and maybe I went back and bought the first edition. What is it, like in black and white, and for some reason, like, blue as a third color on the cover. It was really weird. But I haven't played it for years, and now, like, younger people play it, and that's fine. I thought, well, maybe I'll play with some of my friends, friends of the pod, Matt Stompy Thompson, engineer Jason McCarris, the doctor Kim Miller, Tony Caselli, and everyone's like, yeah, let's go do that. Kit Hirasaki, we're like, yeah, let's do that. And Kim was like, I don't know if I want to play Dungeons & Dragons. And she said, could we play Star Trek? I thought, oh my gosh. I bought the first edition Star Trek role-playing game back in 1982 when I was a kid. I loved that game. I played it very sparingly. Now, the game's not that great. And I found out later on, as Star Trek Next Generation was going on, Paramount revoked FASA's license. FASA, their role-playing game license for Star Trek, and so by 1989, the game was gone. And so but I found it online. In fact, I actually had it for years. I had, like, the booklet for years. I loved looking at it and thinking about all the adventures. I had a couple of the modules. It was so cool. And when they mentioned it, I found it online. I thought, what if we play this? What if we play role-play Star Trek? The original series, you know, I'm sure there's a Next Generation one, but the original series, because I had it. And then Kit Hirasaki said, well, maybe you should stream it. Maybe we should Twitch it. So we might be doing that. That could be an announcement you guys will be hearing, like, very, very soon. Maybe Rolling for Characters very soon. Although the game is kind of a weird, broken 1982 version of the game. One of the reasons I wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons is because they've cleared up so many of the bad rules. But I went back and looked at this. And the best thing about that game when I got it back in 1982 is that in addition to having the manual for how to play the game, they had the complete floor plans for the Enterprise and a Klingon D7 battlecruiser. A Klingon D7! It was amazing! Now, it was floor by floor, so it was like folded paper, 8x10, like it was probably like, what, 22x10, and you unfolded it, and you could look at floor by floor the blueprints of the Enterprise and a D7 battlecruiser. Man, the adventures I played through in my head, you know, we would beam down, cruise down to those Klingon D7 battlecruisers, me and my friends, and we'd go run around. I don't know, like, I couldn't even imagine why we had to go to a D7 battlecruiser, like, in the middle of whatever. It's like, oh, beam down there. And we have firefights with Klingons. Not the bumpy head ones, the mustachioed ones, the goateed ones. I guess they're called Van Dykes, technically, but you know what I'm talking about. Man, that was fun. And so the thought of perhaps going back to that is very intriguing, although the game was a little broken. Some of the skills you could acquire, they had all sorts of strange skills, which were only contextual to Star Trek, the original series. you could work on driving ancient cars or Vulcan cooking. Like, literally, you could get good at Vulcan cooking or whatever good that did you. Singing was a skill. It was kind of a mixed bag. But we might be playing that. This is a mixed bag, is it not? Is this what you want? Is this what I must do? Have I become so lost in my own way on this that I need to kind of like ramble on here? I can. I will. This is a grab bag. This is a grab bag episode 177. I don't care. I'm going to talk about it. You know what I was listening to before this? I was listening to the music for Star Trek V. Jerry Goldsmith, the opening sequence. Why? Because as I told you earlier, I'm writing this kind of Little House on the Prairie Western show. That opening music's so good. It's such an Aaron Copland homage. It inspires me. I'm driving to be inspired to write this episode of this Wild West show. And you know what I did instead? I took time off to talk about Star Trek. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. Why didn't I get one of those Star Trek assignments? Why? I was so ready to go in there and pitch my Star Trek 6 to 11-year-old idea. It was so good. It was about a family on a new ship. And I think they're a quarter Andorian. I want to say like half or a quarter Andorian and human. So it was going to be pretty badass. And it was what it would be like to have kids on a ship. Kids who had a run of a starship while their parents worked on the ship. And all the adventures and misadventures they could get into. And the ship was cool too. The ship could break into three parts. I'm not kidding. There was like an exploration part, like a science lab that broke off from it. There was the crew quarters, and there was like this battle bridge-y kind of part. In case like it's like, okay, so the science part's gonna land there, and then the crew quarters are gonna separate, and then the battle bridge is gonna go out and fight somebody. It was pretty cool. I had it all planned out. And they were going to go outside the galaxy to these cluster of stars that was strung out like pearls. It was called the Dragon's Tail. And they were going to be the first ship to go there, the first Federation ship, because they'd been finally allowed to go there because there was some other race had forbidden them to go out on this, but now they get to explore one after another, like a connect the dots, further and further out into deep space. That's not a sound effect. That's whatever that is. This is a grab bag episode. Now I'm excited. I'm clearing out all these things I wanted to tell you for all these times. Man, this has been some really good stuff. Talk about Jonathan Frakes. You know, we had Robert Picardo on that too. We tried to get Kate Mulgrew on Hot Streets, which you can watch on HBO Max now. Who else did we have? Oh, we had Jeffrey Combs. Oh, he was great. I got to sit there with him and talk to him for a few minutes. I talked to him about Reanimator. I was so scared to talk about Star Trek, but he was so nice. I should have just said, hey, man, let's talk about Wayoon. Let's talk about Tron. Man, he was so good. And he was good in the booth, too. We hired him twice. Who else did we try to get? I can't remember. I think it was those were the guys we tried to get. That was fun. You know, to have a couple of Star Trek fans getting Star Trek people to do non-Star Trek voices, pretty awesome. All right, my shuttlecraft needs to come to an end. This shell pod, this mini pod here, people call it a mini pod or a tribble. I used to call them tribbles for a while. Those are like super short. There was a time when I was working with Feral Audio. Remember that? When they were talking about doing little short episodes that you would attach onto other episodes to kind of cross-pollinate. It's like, oh, hey, you come to the end of this episode, listen to this two-minute episode from I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. And I did one. I don't know what they ever did about that. I don't know. They were supposed to get me CBS All Access again, and then I think they messed up the code, and so I haven't been able to get it for a while, so I had to borrow the code from Jason. That's okay. Anyway, look at me, in a shuttlecraft going where no man has gone before, no mic has gone before. That's the title, right? where no Mike has gone before. And completely in character, it's me talking to you. Me talking about my love for Star Trek, or my problems with Star Trek, and I'm not ashamed to admit that stuff. You know, other podcasts that just, like, are so effusive about Star Trek, you know, they might say, well, you know, I had a little problem with that, but overall, you know, I love all Star Trek. No, you shouldn't. You should be a critical thinker. You should have critical thinking skills about everything you see. And I was honest. When Star Trek, third season Discovery came out, I was kind of digging it. And then it kind of fell off the map, and I think it, I don't know if it was worse than the previous seasons, but it certainly was more of a drop because it was better at the start and then bad at the end. And so I felt like I was once again set up for like this bait and switch. But other podcasts don't do this. They don't talk to you, the listener, like I do. They'll publish all sorts of weirdo content on their Facebook page. I do that. I'm not self-aggrandizing. I'm just telling you what you're getting out of this. And I appreciate you. I wonder how many people have actually stuck around for all 176. Maybe Jim? I don't know. If you have, maybe I'll put a poll on. Like, how many of episodes have you listened to on the Facebook page? Because that's important, right? We should know that. How many of you have I condemned to suffer? No, to enjoy these. These are all great. Now, I'm not apologizing for anything. This is a celebration. A tiny, quiet celebration in a car, driving in Southern California. In 2021, we did it. We got out of 2020, right? Still some stuff to get through. And I am now on Sherman Way. Not Van Owen. Forget Van Owen. There was a fallen tree there. I almost crashed into a tree podcasting. Now, that would have been a podcast. All right, have we done enough? We have. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this crazy 5-year mission so far. And I promise you I'm not going anywhere. I just don't know where I'm going with you. Actually, I am going places, and you're coming with me. Because that's what it's about, right? It's about exploration. Now, I explore my feelings about Star Trek, and hopefully you get something out of it. And if you don't, I guess, you know, then we'll, you know. Well, I don't have an answer for that, but I hope you do. And I appreciate you listening. All right, this is Mike McCafferty on board the space shuttle, the shuttle Kia Soul. Thank you for listening. And I just want to talk about Star Trek.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
I meant to say that it should be hauled away as garbage.
Now, these folks don't need us swimming in their suits.